Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by United Way. Whether it's helping a single mom in Dundalk keep her home or giving a bright student in Sandtown a chance to be his best, United Way fights for families. Help them win the fight. Visit uwcm.org/fight.
Dan Rodericks of the Baltimore Sun with episode 429 of the Roughly Speaking podcast, coming from Lexington Market on the west side of downtown Baltimore. Lexington Market is historic. It is iconic. You can buy fruits, vegetables, fresh meat, fish and poultry here, and baked goods. Hundreds of people come here for lunch. But Lexington Market has seen better times. A couple of years ago, a Baltimore mayor announced plans to tear the market down and build on the parking lot to its south, a new big glass box of a structure to replace it. That plan provoked groans among those who think redevelopment should enhance the historic nature and cultural authenticity of Baltimore's great good places, not replace it with some bland suburbanite idea of what's inviting. As one of the vendors told me, people looking for an urban adventure do not want a food court in a mall. The people who come to Lexington Market from out of town expect to find a place that has been used by millions of others, maybe even a little rough around the edges. But, of course, not too rough. Everyone around here knows the rat story. A rat got into a bakery case. Someone took a video of the cake-loving rat, and the video went viral, and business at Lexington Market plunged. Over the years, drug addicts and drug dealers gathered around the market, and there was nothing less appetizing than walking here for lunch, reaching for a door handle to open it, and smelling urine. Management in recent years has done a better job with all of that, and there's more security around Lexington Market today. Still, the place needed an upgrade, but that big glass box did not have much support, and it came with an estimated $60 million price tag. Earlier this month, the people working on Lexington Market's renovation came up with a new plan, not as expensive, and one, they say, that can be put in place faster.
There's a new look for the world-famous Lexington Market on the horizon.
Mayor Pugh announced a renovation plan for the historic public landmark. Pat Warren reports it's causing quite the buzz.
Mayor Pugh today announced a plan to renovate the market that's been here since 1782. The market's reputation took a hit in July when a rat was videoed in a market bakery case and temporarily shut it down. In 2016, there was a grand plan to build a new market and tear down the old building for a park. The latest design builds anew and repurposes the old.
I'm so excited that we're going to renovate, have a whole new market, and it's going to look great. I'm just excited, can't wait.
You know, the great thing is that the historic char will still remain, but there'll be some improvements made around, so we're very happy for it.
The city hopes to break ground in 2019. I'm Pat Warren reporting from Lexington Market for WJZ.
All due respect to WJZ, here's why you need to buy a newspaper, and I'll put a plug in for the Baltimore Sun here. The lack of details in that 90-second TV report. So here's a little more info from the reporting of my colleague at The Sun, Sarah Meehan. The city chose Seawall Development, the firm behind Our House Food Hall and other projects in Remington, to construct a new market for the vendors on the south lot as before, but not that big glass box. And it calls for opening the Lexington Street Arcade, built in the 1980s, into a grand pedestrian mall between Paca and Utah Streets. The new plan would retain the market's east building, where most of the vendors are now, and offer the west building across Paca Street for a separate redevelopment project. I came to the market wondering if all this had to happen at all. I mean, I started with basic questions. Why not just spruce the place up and do a better job of marketing the market? I spoke with two key players.
Robert Thomas, Executive Director of Lexington Market, Inc. and Baltimore Public Markets Corporation.
And Kirby Fowler, I'm Chair of the Board of Directors of Lexington Market, Inc. and the Public Markets Corporation, and also President of Downtown Partnership of Baltimore.
Okay, I see some empty stalls in the market. The market isn't quite as robust as it used to be. What are we trying to accomplish here? This is a basic question. What does Lexington Market need? What's the mission of this current project?
Mission of the current project is to not just revive Lexington Market, but to actually get it ready for and activated for the 21st century customer. It's not just about being robust as before, but it's about serving the communities that have shifted and changed. The demographics are different, but we still have the same mission of supporting communities in Baltimore with entrepreneurial opportunities, with job opportunities, with information about fresh food and the fresh food itself. So we want to do all of that because that's still part of the mission that we started with a long time ago, and we want to keep that up.
What's changed about the customer base? What are the demographic changes you're seeing or that you want to respond to?
We have a different kind of resident in downtown. We still serve customers largely from zip codes 01, 17, and 15, tracking with the metro and the light rail. So we still do that. And those demographics go from EBT holding customers, food stamp holding customers, to people with a lot of disposable income. So we've been able to do that with the people at, say, the lower 50% of that scale. We need to really expand our food offerings and our environment and experience to cater to and welcome the people at the other end of the scale as well, so that we can have the kind of mix that this market has always been accustomed to.
You can feel the life around you. There's a lot of activity here and energy, and we don't want to lose that. We want to make sure we appeal to the people who currently come here, but also I talk to so many people who say, I used to go to Lexington Market, and we want to bring them back. But also the buildings, most buildings in today's disposable age last 20 to 30 years. The East Market was built in the 50s or 60s, the arcade in the 80s, and you need to freshen things up. Just if you look at the East Market, the dark ceilings, the absence of daylight, the sloped floor, everything needs to be reviewed and freshened up.
Okay, so here's where I start challenging you.
Sure.
Okay, the sloped floor.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the natural grade of this block from Packer Street to Utah, from Packer to Green on the West Market. To me, that's part of the charm of the place is you have this long sloping floor. And I think it needs paint. It needs a general spruce up. The ceiling needs to be brighter, and there needs to be skylights. So I don't quite understand why we need to go beyond a general spruce up and a better marketing plan for the market. Because I'm just Dan Rodericks, who's full of opinions about stuff, and I don't live it every day. But I still like coming here the way it is. I think there should be more merchants. It would be nice to see that, and more customers. But okay, go ahead.
Well, first of all, the floor is not ADA compliant. So if you're in a wheelchair, you could be zipping down this floor. So that's one problem. If it were built today, you would not be allowed to build a floor like this. Now, maybe that's part of the charm of it, but if you're disabled, this is not good. Also, the sloped floor means a lot of the vendor booths have to be very tall. That disconnects you from the vendor. And in most markets, if you go to Philadelphia, you're looking eye to eye with a vendor. And so there's that. But also,
I actually never thought about either of those things. So, okay.
Beyond that as well, we have, if you look at most markets throughout the country, we've got more vendors than any other market around. And also, we've got duplication of vendors, and we don't have as much fresh fruits and vegetables as we want. Plus, also, we have this southern parking lot that's also sloped. That doesn't create a great environment for us to do a farmer's market outside. But if we can take down the arcade, build a pedestrian mall that is two levels, and actually avoid some of the slope, you could do a farmer's market outside as well.
All right, let's just describe that for people. So we're standing in the arcade now, right, Robert? This was built in the 1980s. I think William Donald Schaefer was still mayor of Baltimore when this went up. So the plan would be to basically, cut right through here, put the merchants in a new market where the parking lot is now to the south of us, right? And then what becomes of the Grand Ole East Market?
That'll be secured, sealed, and repurposed, because there's still a lot that we can do in the space that also supports the mission.
It's a big space.
It is a big space. There's really a lot that we can do. I mean, we can convert some areas over there for test kitchens, workforce development kitchens, bring in some other uses from stakeholders in the neighborhood. Market Center Merchants Association could use a real office space. There's other co-working spaces that people have been actually asking for. And we're trying to carve out spaces for those now, for the entrepreneurs that pop up in this, just in the Market Center area, but in other parts of downtown as well that we can provide. So there are a number of uses. We haven't settled on anything, not to mention the kinds of spaces that University of Maryland is considering, and they haven't necessarily voiced, but in our conversations just quietly, there are things that they would be interested in doing if there was space here to do it. One of the things that is an advantage of a newer structure for us over the 65-year-old structure that we're working with now is the operating costs. And the operating costs are going to be more toward the LEED standard, which wasn't even invented or talked about by the time this was built in 52.
For the arcade in the 80s, really.
That's correct. So the operating expenses should drop precipitously by the time we really kind of get this thing rolling. And that's going to be an advantage both to the market as a whole, but certainly to the vendors.
And on that point, I don't care where you are, you need security. And the current structure, the East Market, has dozens of doors and entries. Also, the East Market has so many alleys and nooks and crannies. That's part of the charm of it, but also it's very difficult to manage from a security standpoint. The new market would have more of an open floor plate, straight aisles. It'd be easier to secure as well.
Okay, so how do the merchants, the vendors, feel about this?
We first were thinking about renovating the East Market like you thought, but it was actually expensive. We would have to fix the floor. We'd have to fix the floor, the skylights. It turned out to be much more expensive than building on the Southern Lot. Actually, the Southern Lot concept came from a vendor meeting because the vendors didn't want to have to be moved around during a renovation project. They want to be moved once, and they said, why not build it over there?
So build a new shed, a big market next door, then they all move over there.
Yes. And beyond that, look at the height of these ceilings. They're 30 feet in the air. It is a maintenance nightmare to try to deal with that. So whatever we do will be lower to human scale, easier to maintain.
Well, you have a second floor here for an eating area.
Yes. And actually, that's also contrary to most markets. You don't have an eating area all in one section. It's spread throughout the market. Go to Reading Market. They're at the stalls. And it's just...
You mean you can stand or sit there and eat?
Yeah, and it's spread throughout. There are some small eating areas, but everything, it's typical of the way zoning used to be throughout the city. You separate uses, and we want to move all those uses together.
Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by United Way. From housing and education to healthcare and employment, they will help you fight to make the biggest difference in your community. Join the fight at uwcm.org/fight.
I had a question for Robert about a supermarket. A supermarket in this part of town works against Lexington Market, doesn't it?
There are ways that it could actually work with Lexington Market, but just getting a supermarket, from what we're hearing from the folks at BDC and others who are really working hard in other areas to just get supermarket traction, it's such a process. So in the meantime, and for a long time, Lexington Market should continue to be the market of choice for people to get, which to Kirby's point means we do have to have a broader array of fresh foods and the kinds of things that you're seeing in a new market environment. So that means some ready-to-go stuff for people who really aren't interested in cooking a lot. And then the absolutely fresh stuff. And it should be displayed better, merchandised better, marketed better, all of that.
Have you surveyed people to see whether they're interested in this? I mean, all these new folks who have moved in into old office buildings that are now apartment buildings in downtown Baltimore, that's who you're trying to attract over here.
Correct.
In part, right? Do they cook? Do they want fresh Swiss chard?
So first of all, we want to attract people from all over the place, not just downtown residents. Of course, downtown residents are near and dear to my heart. But downtown residents, by and large, are going out to eat a lot. But what time does this market close every night? 6 p.m., right? And so the residents are coming home around 6:30, so they don't even have an option to shop here. There have been evening events that we've done, which have been successful, but it's not been an amenity for them. But they are not cooking at home. They want fresh fruits and vegetables when they do cook at home. But they want an experience like a public market, like an Our House. Not that we want to turn this into an Our House or a Mount Vernon Marketplace, but it should be something that stays open later and is more amenity to the entire neighborhood.
Robert, what's the plan for the West Market?
West Market is part of a block now that has been RFP'd to get some developer interest in the entire block. So
that's another big space.
Huge. I actually have square footage on it in my head somewhere. We need to be much more cost efficient with that block and with that space. So if there are merchants over there that we need to consolidate over here, we'll do that. But then that frees up that block to do things that are much more cost effective for the market as well.
Are you telling the developer that every vendor currently working in Lexington Market, either the East Market or the West Market, would be accommodated in a new building?
We haven't told the developer that, but what we're looking for is to get to a place where we have real efficiency but a full experience of the market, because we will still end up with more merchants in the new Lexington Market than in any other market that I've seen around the country.
What I mean is, you want to accommodate everybody who's currently here?
We want to accommodate everybody who's willing to go, change, and grow with the experience that we want to create.
I'm curious what you mean by change.
There's going to be three levels. There's going to be one level where absolutely we must keep them. They're so important to the history of the market. The second level is we can work with them to upgrade their product, upgrade the looks of their booths. And then finally, the third group is maybe they're redundant, duplicative. Do we need to be selling lottery tickets in a market?
And how much fruit salad can you sell?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct.
Yeah.
And the other part of that is that to the extent that we certainly can, we'll do our own version of outplacement, because if, in fact, somebody here is not really willing to be a fit for the new market experience going forward, but they still have a customer base, we can work with the people in Market Center and elsewhere, you know, other agencies in the city, to see if there's another place where they can be, so that there can be a soft landing.
As for people who have a concern about the historic nature of Lexington Market, they'll look, hey, 1782, what are you going to tear down or close up? A 1782 building, but in fact, the East Market is from the 50s. Like Kirby said that earlier, right?
That's correct.
The only thing that's from 1782 is the location?
Is the location. So we're operating on the historic site, and that is the distinctive. So this side and the other side of Packer Street are the historic sites, but the buildings are not contributing.
Okay. So you haven't found any, like, petrified crab cakes from 1782 under a booth?
No. Actually, we're going to be very open to the design of the new South Shed, but I think there's a lot of support for faux historic. I hate to use that term, but make it look a little bit like that shed from the late 1700s. There's pictures right down the hallway here of the way it used to look, and it's a really charming experience.
So where we're standing now, you see like a big plaza or walkway through here. With it, what, maybe a set of steps somewhere?
Yes.
Place?
Yes, yeah, that's one design look like that. But again, we want to talk to the vendors and the community about what they'd like to see here. But that would be a possibility, because we do not intend for cars to be moving through Lexington Street as a way just to bypass downtown.
I didn't think so. From my reading of our story in The Sun, it made it seem like it was a big pedestrian walkway.
Yeah, there'd be bollards, and it'd be for pedestrians and for farmers market.
And this is cheaper than the plan you rolled out a couple years ago. You don't need as much money.
No, we don't need quite as much. We still need some, but we're much closer than we were before. So in this case, this design is going to come in much lower.
We had some numbers in the paper. So what are we talking about?
It depends on the bells and whistles, but we think it could be $10 to $20 million cheaper to go this route. And let me explain why.
Putting it in the range of what?
$30 to $40 million.
$30 to $40 million.
For the new structure. And here's why. The prior plan, we're going to take up the entire southern parking lot, and we'd have loading and unloading under the market. That means you have to do excavation. Very expensive. The smaller market we are now proposing allows for loading and unloading on this slope behind the southern shed. So you don't have to do all that excavation, which is incredibly expensive.
And what about parking? I mean, that's still a thing for people who live in the Villes. Cockeysville, Lutherville, the other Villes, Clarksville.
Parkville. So we're taking, we're still counting on some use of the west block to accommodate parking for the market, as well as for market employees and merchants.
In fact, under the RFP for the west parcel, we've asked for at least 300 spots for Lexington Market's use. In that, there's a current parking garage right there. Who knows? It could be demolished, rebuilt. But we need 300 parking spaces. And whatever developer bids, they know that. That's part of the RFP right now. But also, there's another parking structure just north of here as well. It could be beautified. It needs a facade upgrade as well.
And when might we see plans from Seawall?
We'll see plans that we can act on toward the end of 2019. That's what our expectation is, unless there are unforeseen circumstances. But things going the way they are, that seems to be the pace that we're on.
We'd like to break ground in early 2020. We've already raised $17 million, thanks to some reserves of the market, money from the city bond accounts, as well as state support. So we have $13 to $18 million gap. We have requests in for federal financing, which we think will be successful. So we're much closer than we were 6 months ago when we had a larger scale project.
Well, thank you both.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That was Kirby Fowler of the Downtown Partnership and Robert Thomas, Executive Director of the city's public markets. There are other issues I'll get into in a future episode of Roughly Speaking: the neglect of the West Side generally, the marginal retail district around Lexington Market, the stops and starts of redevelopment between Charles Center and the University of Maryland's urban campus on the West Side, and there are definite racial and class dynamics at play here. After I wrote a column about Lexington Market in August, I received several emails from white people in the suburbs who said they wanted nothing to do with the place because it ain't what it used to be. They reminisced about the good old days. It did not take much reading between the lines to pick up the racial overtones. Klaus Philipson, a Baltimore architect and one of the city's best thinkers, wrote in his Community Architect blog, "In a time when the national and local social fabric is under great tension, spaces for diverse communities to come together and find common ground are more important than ever. Markets are such spaces. A successful renovation of Lexington Market is key to a renewal of the West Side and key to the future of Baltimore. The Seawall deal may very well be the last chance to rescue the market and bring it in line with similar successes around the country and the world." You can read the rest of Klaus Philipson's essay on Lexington Market by going to his blog, Community Architect Daily, or by following the links in the notes with this episode of Roughly Speaking, episode 429. Also, there are links to the recent Sun stories on the market and my column from August under the headline, "Shop at Lexington Market or the Rat Wins." There's also a link to my Facebook page and a photo album of Lexington Market. I'm off to lunch now. So much to choose from here. This is Dan Rodericks for the Baltimore Sun, and for my producers, Steve Early and Hallie Miller, thanks for listening to Roughly Speaking, and we'll see you again soon.
Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy welcomes the writing collective Unruly Catholic Women Writers for a reading and discussion of their new anthology, Unruly Catholic Nuns, Sister Stories. Sister Stories explores the voices of current and former Catholic nuns, and by doing so, contributes to the global conversation about the role of women in the Catholic Church today. Sunday, October 28th at 5 p.m. at the Ivy Bookshop. More at theivybookshop.com or call 410-377-2966.